We're back in Parshat Matot. We're in the second shiur. Last time, we broke down the Parsha into three parts. What were the three parts that we broke down Parshat Matot into in your notes? What do you have?
Nedarim.
We have number one is Nedarim. What's number two? Milchemet, Midian, and what? And the Shalom. And the spoils of war. And then number three was? Reuven and Gad. And the Eber HaYarden. And the Eber HaYarden. Okay. Now we talked about last time specifically the opening paragraph, which was the paragraph about Nedarim. We said, what is Nedarim doing here? Why is Nedarim the opening of this Parsha? What is it doing in the narrative of Sefer Bimbar at all? And we examined, using as a springboard, a short piece in the Or Gedal Yahu on this parsha, using that as a springboard, the concept that behind a neder is creating a dira l'Hashem, a makom l'shchina, a makom l'kedusha, based on the fact that the first neder that was ever taken was the neder by Yaakov Avinu, which is source number one on your sheets from last time. It's the same source sheet from last time. There's a whole stack here. Maybe there's some in there if you don't have. But it's the same source sheet as last time. If you take a look in source number one from last time, that first neder ever to appear in Chumash was the neder that was in last week's Parsha, that was in Parshat Vayetze, where Yaakov says that he takes a neder that that everything goes well with him when he goes out to Chutz La'aretz and he comes back. Vayevan azot asher samti matzeva yeh beit Elokim. And that he says that the core of what a neder really is about building a Beit Elohim, is about building a Dira LaHashem, is about building a reality of Makom Shechina in this world. And said the Midrash in source number two that in fact all Nedarim are based on this neder. It quoted a pasuk from Tehillim where David HaMelech himself takes a neder and is tolet. He links it back to Avir Yaakov, connects it back to Yaakov's neder. And that, in fact, that neder we saw inside in those pesukim is about also building Beit HaMikdash, finding Makom HaMikdash. Because the goal of a neder is to build a dira l'Hashem. We saw on the flip side, also still a source quoted in the Or Gedal Yahu, that on the flip side, the Gemara tells us in Nedarim that a person who takes a neder, it's like they build a bama, and one who fulfills it, it's like they bring a korban on that bama. And we said, how is it possible that simultaneously it's about building a dira l'Hashem and also doing the opposite, building a bama? So Rav Eliyahu Shor suggested that comes down to, well, what's really the intent of the neder? That the intent of a neder, the intent behind the neder, if the intentions are pure, you can build the dira l'Hashem. And if the intentions are negative, it could destroy that dira. We saw that reflected in the Rabbeinu Bachya's as well. That it can mean itself a hipucho. All this we discussed last time. We link that back to this opening paragraph of Nedarim. And saw that that's so inherent to the paragraph. That while the paragraph is technically about Nedarim, what it really focuses is not on the Neder itself, but who can overturn a Neder. And why are they able to overturn a Neder in these instances? In order to maintain Shalom Bayit. That the idea of a Neder is meant to build a Dira LaHashem, but it has the capacity to destroy a home. It has the capacity to destroy the Shalom Bayit in that home. And therefore the focus of the paragraph is about maintaining the Shalom Bayit in the context of that Neder. Making sure that Neder is used, and the Neder isn't misused to destroy the home, but to build up the Shalom Bayit and to build up a home as a Dira LaHashem. So then what's its purpose here in the narrative of Sefer Midbar? Is that these people who just rose up, this new generation, that's a generation, the Dor Ba'e Ha'aretz, are now about to go into and figure out where their Nachala is in Eretz Yisrael. But the whole goal of entering into Eretz Yisrael is to do what? What's the ultimate goal of going into Eretz Yisrael? To build Beit HaMikdash. To build the literal Bayit LaHashem. That Bayit of Kedusha, the Makom L'Shechina, the Makom of Kedusha. And so really the reason why the Dharma is here is it needs to come here for these people. As a prerequisite for this whole discussion. Because they're going in to build that Dira LaHashem. And Lo Aleinu, if they do it in the opposite way, they could also destroy that Dira LaHashem. And we link that to the fact that negative words certainly are a big part of Sinat Chinam, which leads to the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. And suggests that's also why This parsha always falls out during the 3 weeks, which is when we are thinking about the issues of Chorban, and perhaps why, when Nedarim, this paragraph could have been written both in the positive or the negative, perhaps it is intentionally written in the negative, because it's focusing on the destructive aspect of it and trying to hold back from it, trying to keep that from happening. Because this parsha always takes place during the 3 weeks. That's a recap, very brief recap. That was pretty good for us, 5 minutes, of everything we discussed last time. With that as a premise, though, and that's why I didn't want to stop last time, because we need to keep hold all of that in order to understand the next piece, what we're going to talk about today. And that is, that's why Nedarim belongs in Sefer Bamidbar, and that's why Nedarim opens up this parsha. But how does it link into the rest of the parsha? So we're going to do them in backwards order. We're going to start with number 3. What's number 3? What's the third part of this parsha, the third chunk of this parsha? Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet Menasheh. You guys ready to jump into this whole new part of the story? See it in a whole different way?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go. What's the story of Reuven and Gad? What happens? So they come and they see that there's this amazing grazing area, this amazing grazing land that their sheep and their cattle can take advantage of. And they want to go and instead of going into Eretz Yisrael, they want to live in this place. They want to live on the Eber HaYarden. And they go over to Moshe, and they say to Moshe, we'd rather stay here. We'd rather live here. What's Moshe's response? All of this is all in the beginning of Perek Lamed Bet in your Chumashim. What's Moshe's response? He say, great, awesome, go for it. What does he say?
No.
Why does he say no?
Because you're above your ear. Maybe they're going out some more and you're not going to join them.
Worse? Don't let them off easy.
No.
Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Vav and Zayin. Vayomer Moshe libnei Gad libnei Reuven. Ha'achichem yavol lemilchama v'atem shivvo. That's what you said. Our brother's going to go out to war, and you're going to stay here. V'lama tini'un et leiv bnei Yisrael me'avor et ha'aretz asher atan la'em Hashem. You're going to turn these people's hearts away from going in. You don't want to go in because you're afraid to go in. And then Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be reliving something that happened 40 years ago. What do we call it? Chetam Raglim. And he goes through it. Don't be like the last generation who was afraid to go in, who turned away the hearts of their brothers and kept them from going to land and forced us to wander 40 years and the whole generation died out. How dare you come here and say that you're not going into Eretz Yisrael? And in a vacuum, his claims are validated. He experienced it. He's lived through this before. But that's not what happens. And B'nai God, B'nai Reuven and B'nai God turn and say, no, that's not what we're coming to do. And I'll prove it to you, they say. We'll stop here. We'll build homes for our families and for our flock here. We will go and not just fight with you to take the land. We will stand before you and we will be at the vanguard. We will stand at the front of the battlefield and fight for Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, before the Psukim, but the Mefarshim point this out, that they take it a step further. Not only that, but lest you think that we're just going to come and fight the war for you, we're not even going to go home. We're going to stay there. We are not going to leave Eretz Yisrael until every single Jew has settled in Eretz Yisrael. Then when they're settled, we'll settle. Then we'll go back. Then we'll cross the Yarden again. Clarifying for Moshe, that's not where we're going with this. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you lived through, but that's not us. Coming back to issues we've discussed in previous parshiot, of perhaps a Moshe Rabbeinu who still is stuck with the previous generation, who doesn't really totally understand this new generation, requiring a new leader, which is why we saw Yeshua rise up in the middle of the last parsha that we read. Moshe reacts to them like the Dor HaMidbar, but they're the Dor Ba'eharetz. They have totally different reasons, totally different intentions for doing what they're doing. And then Moshe agrees, though seemingly reluctantly, and says, fine, you can have it, but I'm going to bring you before Elazar and Yoshua and the Rosh HaMatot, and you swear to them that this is what you're going to do. It was a magical moment, that swearing. And then they come, and if they come and make that swear, and they go and follow through on it, and they lead the battle, and they fight the war, and they stay for the division of the land, then you can have this land. And if not, then you come in and accept Eretz Yisrael with everybody else. That's the story. If we were to connect, say that the Rosh of this parsha, the beginning of this parsha is Nedarim, what is on the most basic level the connection between Nedarim and the story of Reuven, God, and the Eber HaYarden? On the most basic level, how might it fit into, how might it link into this story?
They're making a promise.
Yeah, that on the nose. Chavi, excellent, right on the nose. Right? What are they doing? They're making a nether. The only way in which they're able to follow through on what happened is if they take a nether. They want to live on the opposite side of the Yarden. And if they take a nether, they'll go and fight that war and stay there for the division of the land. Then they can have the Eber HaYarden. So we could get away with that. But we don't get to get away with things in Midrasha, right? We want to really get into the depth of it. So while that's true, it's much, much deeper than that. What's the content of that nether? Now really take it forward. Think about why we just reviewed everything from last year. What's the content of the nether that Reuven and God are making? Say again?
Creating a place for Hashem.
Where?
In the
meaning the nether is, we will go forth with you and build a dira l'Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. And like everything we talk about, the very, I can't find the words because it's like right there. Right? Literally, the neder itself is that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and we're going to make a dira l'Hashem. We're going to settle the land, conquer and settle the land to make it a dira l'Hashem for Bnei Yisrael. How amazing is that? That's exactly what we said a neder is all about. The neder is ongoing in creating a makom l'shchina, makom l'kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. That's the content of the neder. But that's not enough. What's the other side of the nether? What's the other part of the nether?
That they get land.
What? Don't just say that they get land. What do they get?
Place.
They get a dira. We're going to get to Makom later. They get a dira. Meaning, we will go and create a dira l'Hashem in Eretz Yisrael for you, and in return, what we're getting out of this neder is that we're creating a dira for ourselves on the Eber HaYarden. But it's even more than that. Because before they made that neder, that land was just called Midian. That land had no Kedusha. Through the neder itself, through the mechanism of the neder itself, that area on the Eber HaYarden receives a quasi-kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, becomes a place of kedusha. Literally everything revolving around that neder, everything involved in this neder, is about creating a dira l'Hashem and makom l'shchina, both within Eretz Yisrael and even on the Eber HaYarden itself. The whole content of the neder is dira l'Hashem. Questions, thoughts, comments to this point? Because we're going to take it even deeper. That was only the first half of the last year. What was the second half of the last year? That was the third half. What was the second half of the last year? Between those two points, what did we talk about? That it's not just about building Dira l'Hashem, but that we talked about the complexity of it. What lies underneath the neder? Intent. Remember we talked about the fact that intent is what makes a neder, either brings it to a positive place to creating a dira l'Hashem, or brings it to a negative place that can destroy Beit Hashem? That the fundamental, underlying essence of a neder is the intent that goes into the neder itself. What's really the argument? What's really the struggle in this paragraph? The struggle in this story?
They're not going into Eretz Yisrael for the sake of building and buying their Hashem.
Say it louder. Bnei God and Reuven are arguing with Moshe. The whole argument with Moshe in this psukim is about one word. What's your intent? Why is it that you want to stay here? And Moshe's concerned that their intent in wanting to build a dira here is to break the shalom bayis of Klal Yisrael, is to break the ability to build a dira l'Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, to keep them from going inside. His whole fear is that their negative intent is to destroy the capacity to create dira l'Hashem in makom l'shchina in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, the nature of the neder itself is that B'nai Gad and Reuven take a neder, that they are going to go in and prove that they want to build a dira l'Hashem by actually going and building it with Klal Yisrael. But the entire paragraph is struggling around a neder, dira l'Hashem, and the nature of the intent. While these two at the surface, when we first read this parsha and looked at this parsha, seem to be total, they're not even opposites, they have nothing to do with each other. These two are purely linked. Every issue with neder is an issue underlying every aspect of this story. The nature of the neder, what B'nai Yisrael get out of it, what B'nai Reuven and God get out of it, and even the struggle within is being a struggle over what is the nature of that intent. Questions, thoughts, comments at this point? Do we see the connectivity between these two paragraphs? It's amazing, right? Gets better. This isn't the end of the story. Where does the story end? Mark, you've hit that white space at the end of the parsha. If you keep turning pages, you're not going to find it. Where does this story end? Think bigger. Yoshua, where in Yoshua? On the back of your sheet. Oh, you turn over the page. On the back of your sheet. I was like, yes, nobody can look at the next source. So I did. I put the whole story on the back of your sheet. From Sefer Yoshua, Perek Chaf Bet. At the end of Sefer Yoshua, there's only 24 chapters in Yoshua. This is really towards the end. Which makes sense, because that was the neder. They've already gone. They went into Eretz Yisrael. They fought all the wars. Then everybody spaces out for like 10 prakim. Why don't people read Yoshua? Do they space out for 10 prakim? Because it's the vision of the land, and nobody knows what to do with it, even though there's tremendously beautiful things happening in there. So after then, something like 10 chapters worth of dividing up the land. At that point, now what can happen?
They can go in.
Now they can go back. That was the neder. And so B'nai Reuven God, and because they were added on at the end of the story, Chatzi Shev and Menashe go to Yoshua, say, we fulfilled our end of the neder. We would like to go back and build our dira in the Eiver HaYarden. And Yoshua looks at them, and he says, you have my bracha. Of course you can. You did exactly what you said you would do. This is everything that we talked about. I was there. I saw it. Go back with my blessing. Go inherit it. It's great. End of story. Never goes that way. Then comes the Suktet and the rest of the pair. So B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, Chatzi Shev and Menashe start to make their way. This is the very end of Sefer Yoshua. Start to make their way back to the Eiver HaYarden. And they get to the Yarden itself. And what do they do when they get to the Yarden? They build a giant mizbeach. What a beautiful thing to do. What a giant mizbeach. It's amazing. Showing their dedication, their service to God. Except nobody really saw it that way. But they shall freak out. They absolutely lose their minds. Oh my God, what are they doing? Avodah Zarah, they've left us for 5 minutes and they're already doing Avodah Zarah. They're ready to go out and kill all of those 2.5 tribes. Cooler heads prevail and they send out Pinchas. Interestingly, one of our characters that sort of carries over from Chumash to Navi, even though his primary stories are in Chumash. But this is the end of a Chumash story, so he's now going to reappear. Pinchas comes about. Interesting, the Rashi HaMatot come about, and our name of our Parsha is Matot. Food for thought. I don't have a great reason yet for why this parsha is called Matot. Did a lot of research on it. I know a lot of things about Matot, but I don't know why it's called the end of the parsha yet. That I haven't figured out. But the Rashi Matot reappear here as well, and they go with Pinchas. And he confronts them. And he says, how could you do this? Pasuk Tet Zayin. Koamru koladat Hashem mahamal azer shema'altem be'elohei Yisrael. What is this way of which you've gone against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lashuv hayom me'acharei Hashem, to already turn your backs on Hashem. Bivnotechem lachem mizbeach limredchem hayom b'Hashem, by rebelling against Hashem and building this mizbeach. And after hearing this plea from Pinchas, begging them to go back and not to do Avodah Zarah, they turn and say, "What are you talking about?" Pasuk Chaf Dalet, "Bim lo midaga midavar asinu et zot lemor, v'chaim u'benechem levaneinu lemor, ma'alachem la'ashem elokei Yisrael v'chulei." You read the paragraph yourself. If you take a look through this whole paragraph, what they basically say is, no, that's not what we built the Mizbeach. We're about to go to the Avar Yardin. We were really, really concerned that if we go back to the other side of the Yarden and generations pass, and people are going to say, oh yeah, they're the ones on the other side of the Yarden because they're not part of Klal Yisrael. They're not part of our Avodas Hashem. They're not part of our Beit Yisrael. They're not part of our one unified, Shalom Bayit-oriented Klal Yisrael. This Mizbeach is a sign that we're united in Avodas Hashem, that when we're standing on the Avar Yarden, we look toward that Mizbeach, and that Mizbeach keeps our eyes trained on Yerushalayim. That's why we built this Mizbeach. And because it's Sefer Yehoshua, they accept, and everything's good, and everybody goes home happy, and everybody lives. Then we go to Sefer Shoftim, and things don't go so well. For anybody, but it's not particularly about Reuven Gad or Chasev Shev and Moshe. Incredible end to this story. What this story, in my mind, reading it from this lens, and I think it's so clear what it brings out, is that all of these fears about Reuven, God, and Chasid Shev and Asher, all these fears never went away. The entire time, for all of the years of the conquest and the division of the land, they were worried. Do Reuven and God, do they really, they took this neder, but are they really part of us or not? Are they trying to break away from us or not? What, this issue of what their intent is was still so present that even if they, after they spent years standing at the front of the battlefield and years hanging out while the land was divided up, despite all of that, they walk back, they build a Mizbeach, and everybody freaks out. What's your intent? Why are you doing that? And their question is, and here are the words here, and I'm using them intentionally, are you building a Mizbeach LaHashem, or are you building a Bama? Just like our Gemara in Adarim, they don't use that LaHashem, but that's what they're asking. Because with your neder, you can build a Beit Hashem or you can build a Bama. And they don't know what the intent is still. They're still worried about just that. In fact, the whole story is revolving around this Mizbeach. Is it a Mizbeach LaHashem or is it a Bama? That's basically the question. That's reflective of a question of what is your intent? What's your goal? And their presumption is that the goal is to break away and build a Bayit that's not for Hashem, to destroy Beit Hashem, to destroy the Shalom Bayit of Klal Yisrael, and to divide down the Jordan between 9.5 tribes and 2.5 tribes. And what's amazing is that if you read through that response, the response of Reuven and God and Chasid Shev and Asher is, no, the whole point of this Mizbeach is to draw us together in Shalom Bayis as one Klal Yisrael that's unified by all serving God in one place, in that Makom Hashra'at HaShchinah, the Makom Kedusha, that is Beit HaMikdash. But this is literally a playing out generations later of those same fears.
It's a different generation.
What's a different generation?
Meaning those fears and intents never left the Dorei Yetzeiv Mitzrayim.
No. That was this whole discussion in our parsha, in Parshat Matot, is with the Dor Ba'eharetz. These are literally the same people that took the neder. Oh. But the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Take a neder to prove what your intent is about building a Dirah LaHashem." But Moshe Rabbeinu was never fully convinced, and what we see from the story is that Bnei Yisrael themselves were never really convinced. In fact, if you take a look, it's not on your sheets, but if you take a look in the Sforno, in the very end of the Parsha, Vayitain Lahem Moshe, that Moshe gave in and gave them the ability to settle into the Avar HaYarden. So the Sforno there says, it's an amazing, when I saw it, I was like, that's it. Kedei shelo likanes b'machloket. He schema Moshe l'divrehem. So as not to get into machloket, in order to maintain the shalom bayis of Klal Yisrael, that's why he gave in. You read the whole story, you never get a sense that Moshe Rabbeinu is convinced. The whole story reeks of Moshe Rabbeinu not believing them. He first accuses them of being like the spies. They then convince him, no, we're not like the spies. Like, they got past that. We don't think that we're back to the Meraglim. But he's like, well, you're fine. Maybe I can believe you, but I'm still not sure. So I'm going to therefore drag you out before Yoshua and Pinchas and the Rosh Hashanah, the people who are going to live past me and take us in, to make sure that you fulfill your part of this neder. It doesn't sound like he's confident in them. And this foreigner is emphasizing that all the way until the end of the story, he never really was confident in them or confident in this decision. The story, although it ends with a neder, and perhaps very hopeful in that way, we see the fact that nobody was so sure about what their real intent was all the way until the end. And then finally, at this climactic moment where they do fulfill everything, even if they do everything right, they fulfill the neder. That skepticism explodes. And they need to have a final confrontation to clarify that no, the whole goal the entire time was to really, that the whole point of the neder, the intent within the neder, was to build Dira LaHashem on both sides of the Arden. That was our ultimate goal, to create one unified Beit Hashem, a Klal Yisrael with Shalom Bayit, that was our goal the entire time. Questions up until this point? Good? Okay. At this point, we've connected parts one and parts three. We still have a big hole in the middle of the story. And that is, what is the Milchemet Midian and the division of the spoils doing in the middle there? So we're going to break for a couple minutes, and then we'll come back together, and we're going to conclude our discussion of Parshat Matot.